Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
So that we can get the background. Jesus used many similar stories and illustrations to teach the people as much as they could understand. In fact, in his public ministry, he never taught without using parables, but afterward, when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them. Now, who are the people that Jesus was talking to here? You go back to verse 1 of Mark chapter 4. Verse 1 of the same Mark chapter 4. Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. A very large crowd soon gathered around him. So he got into a boat and he sat in the boat while all the people remained on the shore. He taught them by telling them many stories in the form of parables such as this one. So these are the people that were coming and gathering. And then in verse 10, when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples and with the others who were gathered around, they asked him what the parables meant. And so it was a time Jesus would go to a place and then the people would gather to him and he would be teaching them. Now let me ask, if one is to do a program in an agrarian society where people are into animal rearing and farming, and then you are to preach or teach them, which time of the day do you think you will have the peak of your crowd? It's going to be in the evening, because those who rush to farm, those who went for one thing or the other, would have returned and they will gather to hear the word of God. So this program Jesus was conducting, one will expect that was going to be a very great time. And those who brought sick people too, they will all be waiting for that time. Just like most of our programs, we may schedule teachings for the day, but we may make the evening the revival hour where all kinds of people will come, just like Bunke's Crusade used to be. So those who bring their sick people, everybody will be waiting for that hour. And of course, major meetings like that, you are going to have all kinds of people who are not even interested in the teachings. And they will all be hanging around waiting for the evening when Jesus will now say, okay, bring all the sick people so that we pray for them. You know, so the people were just like us too. And so the evening hour was what everybody was waiting for, so that miracles will happen and the greater part of the ministration will take place. So that will not be a good time to close it abruptly and rush anywhere. But in this chapter 4, verse 35, the Bible says, when evening came, what did the revivalist say? When evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. It doesn't make sense. It's like, as we are here now, and then we've been having part of the programs before we came in, and then the choir sang, and the whole congregation, we all knew that the next thing is to invite the preacher to come. So if I just stood up, maybe I came with some of the people who were like the escorts, or let's use our pastor as an example. We are expecting the pastor to come up and minister to us. We have brought friends, we have brought people, and we have assured them that they will be blessed. And then when pastor is invited or about to be invited, Then our pastor got up, called the other pastors, everybody who is important in church, and said, we are going to Ondo town now. I mean, how would that type of thing look like? Eh? And he said, we are going now. And then all the people that gathered, crowd, you know, sometimes in their thousands, because we heard that he said thousands, gathered. They just saw the man of God. And if it has been only the man of God alone who went, I think the disciples could keep the crowd before he returned. But in this context, he gathered all of them. Said, let's go! And to where? We are even crossing to the other side of the lake. So humanly speaking, that was a wrong timing to leave the meeting. But Jesus left. You know, and because he was sensitive that it was a time to do something else. And so when we yield to the Holy Spirit and we allow him to lead us, sometimes some of the instructions will naturally look illogical. That if we assess the instructions, and that's why it is not every instruction we share. Because those who did not receive the instruction will wonder what we are talking about. Because it doesn't make sense. You know, somebody is sick. I mean, somebody was a leper. A leper must not live among people, expelled from the town. And he met Jesus. And naturally, you will expect Jesus to say to the leper, you are cleansed. He did that in several places. And then the leper will look at himself and say, yes, now that I'm clean, I can go to the town. But what did Jesus say to the leper? Eh? Go and show yourself to the priest. He didn't say you are healed. He didn't say the leprosy is gone. In fact, the leprosy was not gone. The man was still a leper. And the man left the town because the Lord does not even permit him to be in town. So by implication, what Jesus was saying literally at that time was contrary. Go and show yourself to the priest. In fact, the priest will be the last person to be contaminated by everything. And that's where Jesus was instructing the man to go. He looks like go and contaminate the priest. But the man believed in the person who has spoken. And the Bible says, as he was going there, he was being cleansed. Now, that type of instruction, if you had met someone or your friend and said, to where? And you say, I am going back to the city to go and meet with the priest. They will not allow you to go. Because they will tell you, what do you mean? Who said that? Said that one man said I should go and do that. No, that's beside that. Why will you listen to that type of instruction? So, it is not every instruction that is for the general house. It is not. And that's where the church ran into trouble because we don't know instructions that are personal and we don't know the one that is for everybody. And so, most of the time, personal instructions that are given to the set men, they mistakenly brought the congregation into it. And then it became a law that everybody followed. And generations later cannot even explain how the law came about. I read something recently, you might have come across it, that at a barrack, soldiers always guard a plastered place, and they have been doing that for about 80 years until a commandant came and asked, by the way, why is it that soldiers always guard this place? Then the people there said, we don't know, though that's how we met it for all the years we have been here, that six soldiers will go there during the day, guard the place. And then in the night, another six soldiers will guard the place. And so in the entire barrack, nobody could explain What led to that? And so the man began to make research, and he discovered that the time the place was plastered, there were wild animals that were coming there, messing it up. And then the commandant that time said, okay, before the cement will be, you know, dried, let soldiers guard the place so that they keep the animals off. So when he did that, the following day he was transferred. And so people didn't know the reason why that order was given, and it was sustained for 8 years. You know, so there are a lot of traditions in the church like that that are still being sustained. But those who made those laws, it was based on maybe certain, it wasn't God who said it should be like that, but they just decided and said, okay, as a result of this and this, let us do this. So may God grant us understanding. So Jesus left, which was not normal. Let's go on. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowd behind. You see that the crowd were still there. They left them behind. Altogether, other boats followed. Now, the boats, we are not talking of ships. These were small, small boats in those days, which only two people would be there. One in front, one at the back, or they may keep somebody or two people right there. So if the boat was three persons or four persons per boat, and Jesus had 12 disciples, then they will have minimum of how many boats? Let's say three or four to convey the entire contingent of Jesus. Let me now ask us, if you are going to travel that, you are part of these people who are traveling, and then there are four boats down to cross to the other side of the sea, and then Jesus has jumped into one, which of the boats would you like to enter? Which one do you think will be the most secure? It's the one that carried Jesus. Everybody will struggle to enter that one. It's until maybe they say it's complete. Join the other ones. So the rest can join other boats. Now, so there were other boats that followed. But soon, a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat. Look at that article D. The boat. And it began to fill with water. I want us to get this. How many boats were traveling now? About three or four. But when the tempest came, the tempest affected only one boat, the boat. And the one the tempest affected was the one that carried Jesus. Those without Jesus were free. Triads on every hand that we cannot understand, or the way that God will lead us to that blessed promised land. But He guide us with His eye, we will follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. Hallelujah. Bye. Come by when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by. Another song says, when darkness seems to hide this face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the shore, laid rock I stand. Oh, with the Lord. But sometimes it appears the worst decision. I read a familiar story many years ago at different sources. It's a story that might have come across. A story of a woman by name Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby was that blind girl who came blind, a pastor's daughter, became blind around the age of 9. And the family was thrown into confusion. But this girl was able to commit about 3/4 of the entire Bible to memory in her lifetime. And she eventually got married to Alexander Van, who was an organist. And she's reputed to have written more hymns than any other person in history. She wrote down several of the hymns we have in many of the ancient hymn books. She was a very devoted person. Then a time came that God blessed them with a son, and they fixed a day to dedicate that child unto God, a boy. And the old church people were happy to celebrate what God has done for this family. Both of them were blind, but the baby was not blind. But somehow, the baby died before the day of Thanksgiving. And the church was thrown into confusion. Why should God do this? And so the pastor approached her and said, well, we can no longer go ahead with the thanksgiving because the reason for which we want to thank God is no more there. So this woman said, no, God deserves our thanks irrespective of what has happened. And so when the day of thanksgiving came, you know, everywhere was quiet, people were sober, and she was called upon to come around and thank God. And that was the day she sang to God, be the glory, great things he hath done, so loving thou word that he gave us his son. In other words, I am not the first person to give a son. He did first. We yielded this life and atonement for sin, and open the life gate that all may go. And because the people were so downcast, then she said, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the heavens hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory and things he had known. You know, after a while, some of the brethren could not understand that. And they felt, what is wrong with this woman? When you serve God, you should be able to have good story to tell about God. You are blind, husband is blind, and the baby that is going to be a consolation is dead. Why is she rejoicing? This is not the way it should be. And then, one of the days, in the course of meditation, she got a song and told the pastor, God has given me a song. And then she came out and said, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit. Want to know what my story is? This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the At the end of our life, America Congress honored her with the Congressional Gold Medal Award, which is the highest given to a civilian in America. And the Congress stood clapping while she came out. She was very old at that time. And then they asked her and said, "What was your strength over the years, despite the storm, to remain consistent?" And that was when she sang, "My hope is built on nothing else than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We must rise above this bread and butter Christianity, where we don't really understand what we are even doing. Someone says, "What did God do to these people that they love him this way? What kind of encounter did they have?" Someone described African Christianity as several miles long, but it's not deep. And so we use all kinds of gimmicks to keep the people together. Because if they understand the gospel itself, they won't even follow. And so we just gather them. We try to replace what government failed to do. So the church become a poverty alleviation platform. We just like, if government didn't feed you, you will be fed. You will build a house. You will buy a car. And that's why African preachers find it very difficult to evangelize the West. And so most of the black churches you have in Europe and America is still our brothers. We gather ourselves. Because we are the one who understand our own version of the gospel. Because the rest will not get it. Since they are functional government who has put many of these things in place, and the gospel we know too does not go beyond that one. So Ibo doesn't understand all those. What do you mean by that? So we now, our people will now look for fellow Yorubas, fellow Ibos. Say, "Gather all those who follow you down here, who say you will not carry your proceeds back home." And so we continue with our own version of being all over the place. You know, so like our daddy said, it's actually a strange gospel. Because that's not what Jesus had in mind. It's strange. You know, one of the reasons why Jesus didn't call those who left back is because if he had called them back, he would say the same thing. Because the best way to call them back is not to say that thing you said that made them vex. You stop saying it. You say another one. But if Jesus has called them back, he would still say the same thing, because that is the gospel. And even the response of Peter was the response of somebody who would have gone to. But there was no any other place. We also go away, well, but even if we plan it, to whom shall we go? to only you. There's no any other alternative. You are the only one who has the word of eternal life. And we just have to follow you. So, Jesus, it was his boat that was faced with this attack. But he was inside. And so, that God is involved does not mean storm will not come. And that's the point we are looking at here. That one is in the will of God. Now, this journey, was this journey normal that Jesus was making? It was normal because it's Jesus. There's no error with Jesus. There's no accident with him. He was intentional in all his ways. So that means this journey Jesus was making was the right journey to be made at this time. But he didn't stop the storm from coming. That God said, this is the way. Follow me here. It doesn't mean it's just going to be, you know, easy ride, all true. No, that is strange to Christianity. There will be challenges. But God has already provided a way of escape. And we should have that understanding. And if you look at this place too, those who did not join Jesus in the boat are temporal testimonies. Because they were all seeing what was happening there. From their own boat, they were saying, it was only that one that was moving this way and moving this way. So if you are carnal, you may begin to congratulate yourself. That thank God say, I know enter that one way Jesus entered. I didn't know that it's going to be like that. And that's the way this world is. And that is why it is wrong for those who are in the boat with Jesus to jealous those who are not there. And then for those who are not there now to become our yardstick, we now begin to regret being in Christ. Say, no, we miss so much. We miss so. When we were there, no. We are missing, no. It shouldn't be that way. Now, something else happened here. Like I mentioned earlier, humanly speaking, we will say this is the wrong timing. Why? It was in the evening. People have just gathered to hear him. And they are crowd, thousands, and he left them. He left them. If you were in the congregation, what would you say? When you see the preacher going with all his young pastors, and they enter boat and they are going, they will say, what is wrong with the man? Is he not aware we are here? They said, yeah, no, he chooses whatever he wants to do. And he didn't even tell them, I'm coming back. He just left because he didn't owe anybody any explanation. So he left and was going. Now, in the course of going, there was contrary wind, which affected him, and we know the story. He was sleeping. That's what the Bible says. He was asleep. And when the disciples tried, they could not get it. They went back to him, Master, don't you even care? If we perish, who are the we? Who are the we now? Themselves and who? Over there, Beruem. Don't you care? You think if this thing falls, all of us will perish, so? No, but we are going somewhere. Now, won't you think also that what made Jesus to make this type of emergency journey must be more important than the crowd? Won't you think that way? But that the person abandoned this one and said, this one is more urgent. Let's go there. Now, the disciples will be longing, happy, to see why the master abandoned the crowd. That the thing must be very important, must be very serious, must be something maybe some higher, some big people, maybe members of Sanhedrin needed the gospel, but it must be something more superior, that is superior to what's going on here. But let's go home. That's it, Mark. Now, verse 7. Jesus went out to the lake with his disciples. Okay, no. Sorry. It's not that. All right. Okay. Chapter 5 verse 1. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from a cemetery to meet him. The man lived among the burial caves and could no longer be restrained even with a chain. Whenever he was put in chains, and shackled as often he was, he snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered among the burial caves in the hills only and cut himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" Now, with these scriptures now, you will know what caused this and why other people's boats were spared. They were not the problem. Just like Daddy mentioned yesterday, the spiritual controlled the physical. Now, the people Jesus was going to deal with, they were spirits too. These are demons. They knew that the mission of Jesus to that region, they will be the victims. And even before Jesus got there, they had mobilized their own forces to stop him from coming, because if he eventually come, their own appointment is terminated. And so we must be spiritually sensitive to these things. Thrones are governed by powers, as we had yesterday. It's principalities, powers. That spirit, when Gabriel was bringing answer to Daniel, that prince of Persia went there. See, as far as Persia is concerned, I'm in charge of this place. One of the very difficult studies is the study of angels. And one of the things God did was that when Lucifer and his body of angels rebelled against God, God did not collect the authority he gave them back, and he did not derank them. And so, as the same God's angel maintained their ranking, is the same way the demons maintain their ranking. And the demons that are higher in ranking still remain higher in ranking. And so this principality, that place is his domain, and no any other angel can come around that place without permission. So the Bible says that he even stopped Gabriel there. For how many days? And then, "No, you can't enter here. I'm here." Huh? And now, Gabriel was God's angel. This one was a demon. Now, a demon stopped God's own angel for a number of days. He said, "Until Michael came, who is the prince of your people?" That is the prince of the nation of Israel, who pleads the cause of Israel, who defend the matter of Israel. And by ranking, Michael is superior to them. And so Michael now come and say, "No, he is delivering this message not to Persian people. He is delivering it to my own people who are living in Persia." "Oh yeah, go." This is the way these things work. So, these demons already knew who was coming. And they had gone there and said, "No, it cannot happen." So creating confusion on the high seas. But thank God for the Lord of Ocean, who was the one inside the boat, and said, "No, everything, stop. I'm the one passing." And then he came here. So these same demons now came and said, "Why have you come here now? But I'm going somewhere." If you read all through, he cast out the demons, did everything. Now, if you were one of the disciples, and you made this dangerous journey with Jesus, hoping that what made Jesus to leave the crowd must be something very important. And then, when you cross to the other side, what did you see there? one madman. And then Jesus cast the demons out of the madman. What would be in your mind is, oh God, do this one quick so that we go to that place. Something that made you to abandon crusades. Something that cannot wait till tomorrow. That you say it is now, it is now. So when you finish this one, let's now go and see that thing because it must be very important. Verse 21. Chapter 5, verse 21. Jesus got, after the man was okay, people, he was normal, dressed well and all that. Now, Jesus now got into the boat again and did what? And went where? Went back to the other side of the lake where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. This is serious. So when Jesus finished with the madman, then he said to the disciples, let's go back. This is why we came. Spiritual sensitivity. You cannot guess this one except you allow the Holy Spirit to direct, because it does not tally. It doesn't look normal. This is a madman. He has been there for so many years. He can still remain there. Now, these are the crowds who gathered here. Some of them were sick. Some of them were in pain, waiting for the master to do something to them. Now, among this crowd, there were those who are critical case, as I'm going to touch now before we pray. A woman with the issue of blood was there. Jairus, who was a synagogue leader, you know, Israel practiced theocracy. And so by reason of theocracy, the high priest was like the head of state. So this synagogue leader was just like a political leader too. Do you understand it now? An equivalent of a leader, maybe a local government chairman or a governor in our own capacity, because it was that type of government they practiced. Now, this type of personality was there. Our own daughter was doing what? Dying at home. So he came there. Now, a woman who had having issue of blood had gone to the various doctors was there. Several of the people were all there. And Jesus, in the midst of teaching, said, Peter, where are the rest? Let's go. And they left. Without, please, brethren, I will soon return. No, they just left. Moved to the other side. And then the disciples followed. And then he even went to risk on the high sea, all because of a madman. Now, the challenge is this. Let me now ask you. Did the madman pray for him to come? Did the madman send for him? And this was the first time Jesus would be visiting that place. It shows that there is a supernatural control over this world that is in the hand of God. And he knows the right time for every event. And we must be spiritually sensitive to know what God is about to do per time. And it may not look logical to us. How can God move out of something that looks like a bigger event to something that is not so, in our own classification, is not so important? There are times that we will be the one to pray and bring certain events to realities. And if we fail, it will not come. There are times also that God, out of his own sovereignty, will do it without our contribution. ability to know the difference between the two is critical. So that the one we are supposed to rise to in fasting and praying, we will not think God will do it on his own. And then the one that is exclusively God's own duty, that he doesn't even need us for, we will not kill ourselves there. And these are the things that the Holy Spirit do in our lives. There are, how many of us have seen battle fought and you know you are not the one who fought it? We just wonder if our preachers know this one better. That sometimes when you didn't even prepare, when so maybe you are busy, you didn't even, you know, you just said, let me just say something, and you will see testimonies. People will come and say, wow, even what you yourself said today, I wasn't in my right element. I don't even know what I said. Then somebody will say, Daddy, I want to see you. The message of today is just for you yourself will be wondering, which one? So there are times like that. And that's why we must yield to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you should be happy that I am going. Because if I don't go, he will not come. That language, they are all co-equal. But it's a language that what is going to do with you, areas is going to help you. If you know it, you will be praying, let it begin, let it begin, let it begin now. And that's the Holy Spirit. And so we must yield ourselves to this Holy Spirit so that his purpose is carried out. And let me sound a warning. His plans cannot stop. But if we don't, if we are not sensitive to keying, someone else will key him. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You shall receive power. Abi, when the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And now who were the people Jesus was talking to? The 11. That's after resurrection. The 11. Because one don't go. So you receive power. When the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you will be my witnesses, beginning from where? Jerusalem. When you leave Jerusalem, you move to where? Judea. When you leave Judea, you move to where? Samaria. When you leave Samaria, you move to where? Uttermost part of the earth. And so this 11 mobilized the rest of the disciples, and they became 120 and waited at the upper room. Are we together? Now, but something terrible happened. Acts of Apostles chapter 2, Holy Ghost came down. The church was on fire. Acts of Apostles chapter 3, Peter and John were going to the temple. They saw the cripple. Silver and gold we do not have. That which we have, we give. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Acts of Apostles chapter 4, they prayed. And where they prayed, the house was shaking. And also, they were imprisoned. And the gate of the prison was open, and they came out. So great things were just taking place, and the devil knew that he was in trouble, because great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And so if that temple continued like that, reaching the whole world would not take them more than months. With the speed they started with. So Satan caught up with them in chapter 5 by introducing internal lies, internal sin. Ananias and Sapphira came and told lies. And then the attention was diverted to judgment. Now when that happened, that's not the end. Chapter 6, since the devil entered through one man now, very small entrance. In chapter 6, it became big. Tribalism came in. That in the sharing of food, the Greeks complained that their people were being neglected. The flesh was now taking over. So that when an Hebrew is carrying food, and he comes to pastor, and he speaks to him, Mashalomha, that's Hebrew. You reply with Kali Emera. That's Greek. Say, okay, don't worry, your food is coming. Then you move to the other one. Say, hey, now my brother, if it's not enough, tell me. We'll bring more. So now, was now divided into two in chapter 5. This was revival that started in chapter 2. Then carnality came in. What was the reason for carnality? Jesus did not settle the issue of leadership before he left. He didn't appoint any specific GO for the church. The one way Peter they do, nine they put himself there. It's not that he was officially made the leader. Now, the gospel was to start from where? Jerusalem. After Jerusalem, they were to go, they were to cover the rest of Judea. So, it now became a game of Peter said, I will stay here at the headquarters. So, the rest of you, we will transfer you. Then, John said, no, I don't want to go and transfer. If Jerusalem here, I want to stay. Matthew, no, myself, I don't feel like going anywhere. I will stay here. Now, all of them began to pastor one church. And held God at ransom. Unknown to them, Almighty God cannot be stranded. So in chapter 6, by divine timing, the gospel should be in Judea. But those who should do it refused. They were insensitive. Then they appointed 7 deacons to solve internal problem. What was their job description? They will be doing what? Share food to the people. But there was a swapping of role in that chapter 6. The ministry itself changed to the hand of the deacons. And the apostles continue to share food in Jerusalem. So the next chapter, you go, Stephen. No longer Peter. Stephen took over. And Stephen now was able to address the Judean leaders. Now, is God doing his work or not doing it? God was doing it. The gospel has moved to Judea. So he was able to address the Sanhedrin, the gospel covered Judea, whereas the apostles were not involved. And then Stephen was killed. That's chapter 7. Now, chapter 8, where is the next place? Samaria. And then the Spirit of God came upon another deacon by name Philip. And Philip entered Samaria. And the Bible says when Philip entered Samaria, there was a great joy in the city because people embraced Christ. Let me ask you, was God not carrying out his assignment? God was busy. Where were the apostles? In Jerusalem. And then in chapter 8, former kidnapper, former killer, now was converted. And what did God say to him? They have covered Jerusalem. They have covered Judea. Philip has covered Samaria. The next place is uttermost part of the earth. I will send you far away into the midst of the Gentiles. The leaders of the church were still in Jerusalem. God was busy doing his work. Study the Bible properly. Miracles stopped in Jerusalem. Now, when Peter now went out on apostolic visit to the churches started by these people, miracle resumed in Paul's ministry, in Peter's ministry. Aeneas was healed. Dorcas was raised back to life because we must flow with the cloud. God said to the children of Israel, this journey is not your journey alone. There is a supernatural cloud that will go with you. So during the day, because it was a desert, the sun will be too much. Don't worry yourself. There will be pillar of cloud by the day. In life, the cold will be too much. Myself, who is sending you there, I understand. There will be pillar of fire in the night. But you must not move ahead of the crowd. Now, challenges that came to Israel was that there were bad places that they expected the cloud to move fast. The thing stood there. Like the place where snakes was biting everybody. And it was, you're not going to move. The cloud stayed there. Now, there were good places. They stumbled on water, good for their animals. Ah, they said, yes, let's settle here. The cloud. And they had no option but to follow. hollow. That was a type of how God wants his church to be. Where he will be the Lord, directing our affairs, guiding us every day. We follow him. We do his bidding. We do his will. That even if he will appoint leaders over us, like Moses and Joshua, they cannot replace the cloud. Because the cloud that followed them is Christ. And that's why God could not take it easy when Moses smote the rock the second time. Because crucifixion was the only once. It can't be twice. So God cannot be trapped. We must be sensitive. May he not abandon us and continue with his work without us, because we are not sensitive. So at the end of this event, Jesus returned. And when he returned, he met Jairus there. Now, if you read this translation, you will think that Jairus just came. No, he had been there. And that's another lesson. Overcoming offenses. You know, if there was a man who should feel that Jesus despised him for living without instruction, it should be Jairus. Are you with together? Now, big man now, he comes to see pastor just left like that. You know, he didn't even bother. Somebody like Jairus would have gone back home and said, what is there? But he stayed. Now, when Jesus returned, and people felt bad too, they went to meet him. Oh, God, you are welcome. How you come be now? This man has been here. His daughter is sick. Jesus didn't argue. He said, oh, yeah, let's go to your house. That means even before he left, he knew the man was there. We must learn how to be patient. It's not everything you react to. We are not just children of this world. What controls us is higher. Jesus, let's go to your house. Now, let me throw another bomb now. If our father here left with all the pastors, and we talk to ourselves, let's wait for them. And then we waited to, after many hours, they came and said, they don't, thank God they have come. But there was one big man that was there. So as the pastor was coming, the big man came and they talked and said, okay. And the pastor said, well, I'm following this big man to his house again. Now, what will happen? There's somebody will say, man, it's good to be rich. It's good to be a big man. You see, so we who have been here, all this, because we abandoned them again. But a woman with the issue of blood did not take offense. She still followed with the rest. Not with the hope of receiving his miracle on the way. With the hope that, let's follow. When the master is through with Jairus, he can attend to the rest of us. We must guard against offenses. John the Baptist did everything well. But at the end of his life, offense came. This was a man, when they were fetus, he knew Jesus. When Jesus appeared to be baptized, he heard the voice of God the Father. This is my son. So don't be confused. This is my son. Abi, not the God. And he said, he who sent me to baptize has told me that upon who the Spirit descend, that is the Son of God. So everything God needed as confirmation of who Jesus was given to him. But when offense came, he's the one who now called his disciples when he was in the prison. Go and ask that man. Is he the one we are waiting for? Or we should wait for another one? And what was Jesus' reply? He didn't say, go and tell him I am the Messiah. No, he knew what was the problem there. Blessed is that man who will not be offended in me. So the woman with the issue of blood followed, you know the story, and then touched Jesus to receive a miracle also, because they did not allow offenses. And we need to learn this lesson. So this morning, we are saying that we must be spiritually sensitive. A Christian is a mysterious being. You know, a man of the spirit are mysterious. The Lord leads somebody who drive through this place. Normally, may just turn back and face another place. I mean, what's the problem? Because he's being led by something else. And leading of the spirit is not a social media thing. You know, one of the problems church has now, which is, I did my ICT on, ICT and Christian religious education, my PhD dissertation is on it, is that if church is not taken, if care is not taken, mob will determine the doctrine of the church. So that, as I'm talking now, somebody will just pull one statement and then post it on social media, and then mob will begin to analyze it. And then the church will be boxed to a corner, as it happened during the tight debate. That people, pastors were boxed to a corner, that even some began to say, we should not pay tight. Because the mob pushed them to a corner. And that is dangerous. And that's the season we are going into. Season of confusion. Where majority carry the vote. It is wrong in the things of the spirit. The Lord will give us understanding. So we must be spiritually sensitive to understand the program of God and divine timing. Some of the steps He will ask us to take may look illogical, like the one taken by Jesus here, but that is the way God designed it. It is the best. And it is the one we are responsible to. And finally, brethren, His purposes and plans will come to pass. But the personnel can change. One of the things that affected Moses, whereas Moses was very careful, but Moses also knew that if he is not the one leading them, no one else could. Because the privilege of talking to God face to face was given to one man. But unknown to Moses, he had an assistant by name Joshua, who normally followed him everywhere. And all the fasting Moses did on the mountain, Joshua did, because they were together there. Now, this young boy took a step one day, which was dramatic. It was deadly too. After Moses had entered, and the thick Shekinah glory had come down, and God was talking with Moses, which no one else must come near, this young boy made up his mind and said, it is better not to leave than to live for nothing. I'm going to enter. And the Bible says the young boy Joshua also entered, and God did not kill him. Now, at the end of the conversation, Moses came out, but the scripture says, but the young man Joshua remained there. Whatever God and Joshua talked about, the Bible is silent. So, Moses was shocked. When God said, you're not the one who will lead them to this, the pastor God said no. But within Moses, he was still thinking, okay, if you say I'm not the one, who else? Until God said, place your hand on Joshua. In him, there is the spirit. Now, the thing has been here. I dropped something the day we met. every assignment of God, there is a reserve. Let's be sensitive. Whatever you are doing for God here, none of us is indispensable. Let's be sensitive. God will not replace us in Jesus' name. Let's bow down our hands for prayers. Give me grace to be spiritually sensitive, so that I will not allow offenses. When offenses begin to come, one after the other, you are very close to what God wants to do in your life. And that's why the devil is doing everything to make sure that when God comes, He won't meet you at your duty post. Let's talk to the Lord this morning. Help me, O God, to overcome offenses, to be sensitive to your leading, to be sensitive to your spirit, to know what you are saying per time, and to yield to your direction, so that I will be found where you want me to be found, and I will be what you want me to be. That offenses will not knock me out of divine purpose. Give me grace, O God. Holy Spirit, take over my heart. In the best possible way you can speak, and I will understand. Always speak to me. Let all my decisions be subject to you. Be in charge of my steps. Help me to do your will. Lima kamushida limu kapushinte limurika sindalaba. Mala makipushike limulimare pashinta lama kurima sandalaba. Holy Spirit, I submit myself to you. I yield myself to you. Take over my life, O God, from this moment, that I will yield to your spirit, follow you. Even in a journey that I don't fully understand, like the disciples follow you, just give me the grace to follow you, because every step you take is the best for that time. Heavenly Father, blessed be your name.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.